All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton standing in the confessional corner with you as we continue our survey of Reformation history around the world. This month, we come back to the continent of Europe, and we are talking about the Anabaptist, those who believed in being baptized again, because infant baptism was not expressly stated in the Bible, that you needed to be baptized as an adult, giving us the conflict between those of us who practice infant baptism and those who practice believer's baptism. Here is where a lot of this gets started. And it all starts in a small town called Zwickau, with Nicholas Storch, Thomas Dreschel, and Marcus Stubner beginning this radical wing of the Reformation of 1522. There's some debate as to their complete relation to the Anabaptist movement. They are often viewed as a precursor to the Swiss Brethren in Zurich in 1525, the greatest connection being both of them have Thomas Münzer involved with them. The most distinctive feature was their spiritualism. They taught that the Holy Spirit gave direct revelations to them, which provided them their authority instead of the scriptures. As typically seen as Anabaptism's greatest doctrine, they taught against infant baptism, but they did not quite go as far as later generations in a complete denial of its efficacy. The Zwickau prophets also taught that the end of time was imminent. In response to this, they sought a believer's church, which would separate from the state churches of the Protestants and of Rome. The prophets themselves were exiled from Zwickau and arrived in Wittenberg on December 27, 1521. They gained support from Karlstadt and others who sought greater and quicker reforms than Luther wanted to roll out. Luther preached 8 sermons against the Schwärmer, the enthusiast, as he called them. Luther spoke against the Zwickau prophets and all other radical movements of the Reformation, demanding a miracle to prove their message. They, of course, refused to provide a miracle and soon denounced Luther as being a heretic and an unbeliever. The next thing that comes up with the Anabaptists, and especially Thomas Münzer, is the Peasants' War of 1524 and 1525. This was the largest revolt in European history, an uprising of the peasants against the aristocracy. Nearly 100,000 of the 300,000 peasants and farmers died in this war. Thomas Münzer was well known for his support of the war. Luther condemned the revolt in his book Against the Murderous Thieving Hordes of Peasants. You gotta love Luther's titles for books. Among the survivors, about 20 went on to become leading members in the Anabaptist movement. Now we get into the 3 major oldest threads of Anabaptism: the Hutterites, the Mennonites, and the Amish. The Hutterites are named after Jacob Hutter, who was born about 1500 in Tyrol, Italy. He began preaching Anabaptist theology in the 1520s. Archduke Ferdinand I of Austria, Emperor Charles V's younger brother, declared that any seductive doctrines and heretical sects would not be tolerated in the Habsburg lands in 1527. So Hutter and his followers went to Moravia because the persecution was not as severe there. Although Anabaptists started migrating from Tyrol to Auschwitz in 1529, Hutter stayed behind in Tyrol until 1533. The refugees from Tyrol were joined by Anabaptists from the Palatinate, Swabia, and Cilicia, all other segments of the Holy Roman Empire. Hutter worked to unite all of the refugees, allowing them to flourish. Hutter led many to adopt the Anabaptist doctrines of communal ownership, nonviolence, and adult baptism. In 1535, when all Mennonites were expelled from Moravia, Hutter returned to Tyrol. On November 30th, Jacob and his wife were arrested. In December, he was taken to Innsbruck and interrogated. When he refused to recant or name any other Anabaptist leaders, Jacob was burned at the stake on February 25th, 1536, in front of the Golden Roof in Innsbruck. The Mennonites come and are named after Menno Simons, who was born in 1496 in Friesland, in what is now called Netherlands. Menno was ordained a Roman Catholic priest in either 1515 or 1516. He began to question the doctrine of transubstantiation about a decade later. Unhappy with the inconsistent answers given by Luther, Bucer, and Bullinger, Menno resolved to rely on scripture alone. He also made a point of his preaching being evangelical instead of sacramental. Menno first heard the concepts of Anabaptism in 1531. Although it sounded strange to him at first, he searched the scriptures and came back believing that infant baptism is not in the Bible. Menno Simons finally rejected the Catholic Church and his ordination on January 12, 1536. He became so deeply entrenched among the Anabaptists that he was recognized as one of the leaders by October of 1536, so 9 months later. He was ordained as an Anabaptist minister in 1537. By 1544, the term Mennonite was being used to describe Dutch Anabaptists. Menno died on January 31, 1561. Within the theological system that would bear his name, Menno taught that Jesus brought a heavenly flesh with him when he was incarnated in the womb of the Virgin Mary. That Jesus didn't have flesh and blood like you and me, but he brought a heavenly body with him. He also stressed the necessity for excommunication, or shunning as it is more commonly known, as the main form of discipline in a Christian church. If you do not have that shunning and excommunication, he said you could not be a real church of Christ. Now we get to the Amish, because they are the last to arrive on the scene, because they don't arrive in the picture until a schism happens in Switzerland between the Swiss and the Alsatian Mennonites in 1693. So another century plus after the Jacob Hutter dies and after Menno Simons dies, now finally we have the Swiss who broke off following Jacob Ammann. They became known as the Amish in 1710. And they are best known for their immigration to the United States and especially Pennsylvania, beginning as early as 1717. So here we have a brief look, and a very brief at that, look at the Anabaptists and their beginnings. But all of them, regardless of whether they're Hutterites, Mennonites, Amish, New Order, Old Order, whatever you have the same basic tenets being taught. Believer's baptism of adults, the heavenly body of Christ not being a human body like ours, and the requirement for excommunication as being part of the regular life of the church. That those who were not living up to the standards of the congregation, not getting along with the community, were to be shunned and removed and treated as a Gentile and a tax collector, going back to Jesus' own words. And yet, all of this comes about, well, a lot of it because, well, Menno Simons especially didn't like the way Luther wanted it. You know, it was still too tied, too close to the Roman Catholic Church, which is what happens with all of the radical Reformation, is that whether it is the Anabaptist, or it's Zwingli, or it's Karlstadt, or it's Munzer, it doesn't really matter, because all of it is saying, I want to get as far away from the Roman Church as I can. I want to not have a state church. I want to not have the sacraments. I want to just, as Menno Simons said, I want to just get to the scriptures. And if it is not specifically stated in scripture, it does not exist. And that is a great idea in theory, but there are numerous things that are not expressly stated in the Bible that are necessary to believe, like the Trinity. The word Trinity is never used in the Bible, yet it's taught through there by inference. Infant baptism, never mentioned, and yet we have in the book of Acts, households, you know, entire families being baptized. And you're going to tell me that absolutely none of them had children and infants. I find that hard to believe. Maybe not all of them did, but you can't blatantly say that none of them did. That, you know, it's almost like saying that no children existed in the time of the apostles. It's ludicrous. But this is what we have with the Anabaptist. I mean, they're best known, especially the Amish, for their furniture. I mean, honestly, everybody loves to look at and see the quality craftsmanship of their furniture. But again, that is the one thing that they want to have in common with us outside of their community, is that we are not in fellowship with them. They want nothing to do with us except for, well, okay, there is the need for money. So we need that. And again, do I have any issues with the Anabaptist, whether Amish, Mennonite, Hutterite? I mean, yes, we have theological issues that we can wrestle with, that we can talk about. But again, we are trying to wrestle with that theology. We are looking forward, striving through the scriptures, using the confessions not as something equal to the scriptures, but as a concise, good explanation of the scriptures. How can we take the different places that different things are talked about and bring them all into one, bring them under one heading? That's why we have the confessions, so we can do just that. Take what is not specifically stated necessarily in the scriptures and to build what is said in the scriptures so that we can bring it all together. All right, I have probably rambled on a little much, but I thank you for being here, for going through this series of historical stories about the people who were there in the Reformation, bringing about the different voices that are there that we have to hear about. Because we do hear about the Anabaptist quite often, especially when it comes to the sacraments, especially baptism. As we get through to the church, we have these things that we must actually talk about, and we must know a little bit more of what they have. So, again, I thank you for being here. I am Pastor Doug Minton, wishing you God's richest blessings as He uses His scriptures to guide you, to strengthen you, to wrestle with the theology around you. Amen.